Turn in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 9. In our Friday night Bible study, we visited these very verses in the 9th chapter in our look at the word must and the comforts that come with that very word. There was a blind man who was healed, and we saw where the Lord must come through Samaria, the Lord must come to his people. The Lord must come to rescue. In verse 4, our Savior declares that he must work the works that he was sent to do. And this man who had been blind from birth was born blind for that very purpose, that the works of God might be manifest in him. Amen. That as you and I would read through the Lord's word, the Lord would use these very words to impress on our hearts that what we have gone through in life and what we will go through in life is to glorify him.
Amen.
To manifest his work. To manifest his power in his people. He was brought into this world, this man who was blind from birth, in this very condition, that the day of the Lord would come and the Son of God would be manifested with his healing. Just as our Lord and Savior brought Israel and all that there was theirs into the land of Egypt, where they would eventually become the slaves of Egypt, just as our Lord raised up Pharaoh, that the world would know his power in delivering his chosen people from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of Egypt. Our great God brought this man into this world blind, that the world would see the power of the one who gives sight, that the world would see the light of the world, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. And once this man had been healed, once he had been given sight, we found it interesting that the self-righteous religionists cast him out. They cast him out for breaking their religious ceremony. This is where I want to pick it up this morning. Are you with me in John chapter 9? Please look at verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, speaking of the blind man. And when our Lord had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" This is the title for my message this morning. And a question for you. Dost thou believe?
Yes.
Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Mark your place there, if you would, and turn over to the 9th chapter of Isaiah. We'll come back to that verse. The world is very quick to quote this scripture. The one I'm about to read, which is in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There are three points that one must believe about the Son of God, Jesus Christ the Lord. And as it says in John 4:24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth."
Amen.
Now the first point one must believe is this: who this man called Jesus is. Who he is according to his word. Not according to what you want it to be. Not according to what you think it might be. But what is it according to his word? For that's the word of truth. Give that to some men, and the men will take it and they'll twist it and turn it and make it whatever they think is truth. That's why we've got this strange world we live in today where women call themselves men and men call themselves women. That's the truth. That's what I think I am. And that's what I think truth is. That's pretty weird. That's because they don't believe the real truth. And the truth is our Creator created us as men and women, male and female. In John 1:1, the scripture tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's truth. You have to know this, you have to know this and believe this for you to say, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Matthew 16, our Lord had asked the disciples, He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He knew who Jesus was. And our Lord went on to say right after that, Blessed art thou, Simon of Arjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Telling us that there's only one way to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. There's only one way to know that He is God in the flesh, and that is if He reveals Himself to you. Because in our natural state, we're as blind as a bat. Worse. We can't even fly around with radar. At least God gave them radar so they don't run into stuff. Unless the Lord does a work in your heart, all you're going to do is run into stuff all the time of your life. Here in Isaiah chapter 9, we begin reading at verse 6. You got to get to the right scripture there, Johnny. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This child who is born of a virgin, not with the nature of men, but the nature of the Spirit, perfect and holy in every way. This is God in the flesh. The Son of the living God. He who created all things. He's the Word. He's the very one that the Word is all written about. From Genesis 1:1 all the way to the end of Revelation 22. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him crucified for His people. God Almighty, the only one who could pay the debt in full, perfectly, fulfill all the law, perfectly, walk with righteousness. The very righteousness that He imputes to His people. Because He was made sin for them. Because He took all our sins upon Him. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. He shall rule over everything. The government of all creation is His to do with as He feels, as He sees fit and pleases to do so. The government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, and what does it say next? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You must believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Ruler of everything, including the will of men. And that is so important because today's religions want to build that will of men up bigger than what it is. They have made that their religion. Well, they say they worship and praise and give all the stuff to Christ, but it was their will that they praise. And you can hear that when they say, I made a decision for Jesus in 1962 or 1994 or whatever date you want to put in there. Or I made a decision for Jesus and got baptized. Or I made a decision for Jesus and I worship on Saturdays now. Or whatever else you want to put into there. When it says I first, they're worshiping I, their will. Our Lord rules over everything. He is the sovereign creator of all it is. He is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can there be any scripture more clear than what we have just read? Turn over to Isaiah 53. We worship one God, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. Yes, there are three: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But they are as one in mind, in purpose, complete agreement. There is no dispute between the three, for they are one. He who honoreth not the Son, our scripture says, honoreth not the Father. The second point that one must believe of Christ is that is what He left His glory for and was born of a woman. In Mark 8:31 it says, and He began to teach them that the Son of Man must. This is what we began with, where it talks about that very thing in Matthew. In the New Testament, the word must is first mentioned in Matthew, where He speaks of this very thing. Our Lord began to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and of the scribes and be killed after 3 days and rise again. That's the very first thing our Lord says that He must do. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that's the first thing He's committed to. There's lots of scripture our Lord is committed to things. But that word must is used 49 times in the Old Testament. And it all relates to what men must do. And the very first time we see that word in regards to our Lord, what does it say? He must suffer many things. Why did our Lord come to this world, leave His glory behind, and be born of a woman? In John 6:38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. What was the Father's will? What did our Lord come here to do? He came here to fulfill His Father's will. Look at chapter 53 of Isaiah. This was His Father's will. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. You know, you can't read that scripture right there and think of this really handsome Jesus that man has come up with long hair, can you? The Lord's word says He had no comeliness among Him, no form of comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions.
Amen.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
Amen.
The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Why did the Lord God Almighty become flesh? That we would be healed by His stripes. This is what the table that we're going to come to this afternoon is all about. This doesn't save anybody. But those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been given a new heart to believe on God according to Scriptures, we see the dogs that we are, don't we? We were talking about that earlier. The lady, the Lord called her a dog, and she said, "Yes, dog. Yes, Lord. Yes, I am." But even a dog eats the crumbs from the master's table. We see that we are healed by His stripes. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Who here today doesn't look back and see what we once were? And I'm not trying to say we're any holier than we were before, for our only holiness we have right now is the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not look to the flesh of this man for anything holy. Do not look to the flesh of anyone for anything holy, for the only holy thing is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't see the hearts of men. We don't know what's in their hearts. So don't be fooled by that fake news, that fake holiness that most put on today. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him, upon our Savior, upon the God-man, upon that very one, on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. Folks, he had to go to the grave. He had to take that sin of John Reeves and put it away that the Father would never see it again. And that's exactly what he did. And being God in the flesh, the very blood of God shed upon that tree, it was powerful. There is power in the blood. Yes. Are you washed in his blood?
Yes. Amen.
Verse 9, and he had made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He who knew no sin. That should just about bring a tear to everyone's eye who knows the grace and the mercy of God. He who knew no sin took our sins upon himself. Nobody took his life. He laid it down. That's mercy. That's the grace that I want to hear about when I come to church, when I come to worship. I want to hear about the mercy and the grace that our Lord has for us. Mm-hmm. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, to know that my Lord is satisfied with what he has done. To know that God looks upon us as white as his son. Satisfied because of what he has done. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will a divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for their transgressions. What was the Father's will? His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. I've said this once already, but here it is again mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5:21. You don't need to turn there. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous of God, the righteousness of God in him. The Lord left his glory to be born of a woman, that he would suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Turn over to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, if you would, please. The third point one must believe of Christ is what he accomplished and where he is now. I have a note that I keep over my desk. A note from Pastor Fortner. He says three things need to be in every message. Who Jesus is. What he has done. And what he's doing right now. For you to answer the question that we'll see in a moment, you must know these three things. You must believe these three things. You must believe that he is God in the flesh. You must believe that it is his blood that was shed on the cross that saved you from the sin. And because of that shed blood, we shall be saved. For he sits on his throne this very moment, working everything out after the counsel of his will, not ours. Our Lord had to rise from the graves. He had to conquer death that we might live. The blood of God was shed on that cross. Could anything separate God from those for whom he has loved before the world was? If it could, then you couldn't call him God. No, absolutely not. That's why Paul says, I am confident. Where's your confidence today? If it's in anything that you have done, then you need to set it aside now. God's people have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because we know what the flesh is. We get up every morning and we look in the mirror and we know that what we did yesterday was not right with God. But we're reminded that it's God who is right with God for us. It is what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us that makes us right with God. And nothing of the flesh can add to that or take away from that. Paul wrote it this way, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Well, if you stop and think about what we just read there, as Paul is saying, well, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Can you have any more peace than that?
No.
I have no peace with my government. I'm thankful that I'm living in a country of freedom where we can practice and worship the God that created all things. I'm thankful for that. But I have no peace in what they're doing back there in Washington. I have no peace what they're doing down here at the Capitol in Sacramento. I have peace knowing that my Lord worketh all things out according to his counsel. That's where our peace is. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? When he says all things are for the good to them that love him, to those who are called, is there anything that can slip between the cracks of that? No. All things, including our trials and tribulations. He who laid down his life that many would live for him cannot lose any. So right now, this very moment, he is interceding on the behalf of all of his chosen people. This one is mine. I went to the cross and I shed my blood for this one. This one is mine. This one is mine. This one is mine. This one is mine. This one is as white as I. When God Almighty looks down, he doesn't see the sinful flesh that we walk in. He sees the blood that was spread on the doorpost. He sees the blood of his perfect son. That should bring such great comfort to you.
Amen.
If you don't have that comfort, then you've got nothing. Are you with me in Hebrews?
Yes.
Chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, this one who is called Jesus, this one who shall save his people, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
Now I'd like you to go back to our text in John, if you would. This scripture we've just read. Well, I don't know where I came up with that word, written. Yeah, he's got to watch out for me. I'm telling you, that's the flesh doing things there, making up its own words. These scriptures that we've just read all pointed to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now you tell me this. Are we the only ones in the world who have read these verses? There were many in the days of Jesus who saw the miracles firsthand. There was only one lady that our Lord went out to the coast of Tyre to save. There was only one man by the pool that our Lord said, take up your bed and walk. There are many who read God's word and have no idea what it means. And I share that with you because this is what we need to see. We could be just like them. Some of us were, right, Mike? Amen. I was sitting here listening to Mike and Larry talk about the religions that the Lord had brought him out of. We could be just right there with him. And they really, really believe in what they're doing. That's why they get fighting angry about it when you tell them they're sinners and lost going to hell with those thoughts of your own free will, of your works. They really, really believe that they're doing the right thing. And I continue to point this out because this is why we should see the grace of God being magnified so greatly. Because we could be just like that. Yet by His mercy and grace, and because He has loved us from before the world began, He came to us and gave us the truth.
Amen.
You see how great the mercy and grace of our Lord is? Can you see how wonderful it is to a sinner? I don't deserve any of what the Lord has given me. I'm like Jacob. I'm trying to connive and get by with what I can. Thank you, Lord, for loving me even when I didn't love you. What peace we have knowing that because our Lord loved us with an everlasting love, nothing can separate us from that love. That love that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. We have this peace because Christ Himself reveals it to us. He reveals who He is. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it. Pastor Gene stood here and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it was the Lord, the Spirit of God, who came and touched John Reeves' heart.
That's right.
You must be born again.
Amen.
A must is a definite in God's word. All of God's word is definite. We have peace because Christ reveals what He has done. Not just the sins that I committed yesterday, but the sins that I commit today. Or even worse, the sins that I might commit tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or this afternoon. What has He done? My Lord has saved me. Dost thou believe in the Son of God? We have peace because we know that Christ Himself reveals exactly what He's doing right now. Whatever is happening right now in my life, if I'm struggling with something that's going on in my family, I have peace with it because my Lord is working it all out.
You bet.
If I have one who's sick, and this is hard, to know that one you love so much is suffering, how can I have peace with that, Lord? Because He's Lord of all. He's Lord of everything. And even when I don't see the right in it, I know it's right because it's His. Look at verses 35 through 38. And Jesus heard that they had cast Him out. And when He had found Him, He said unto Him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And He answered and said, Who is He, Lord, that I might believe? Who is the Son of God? If you don't know who the Son of God is, cry out for His mercy. Call upon the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord. Not some weak Jesus who might save you, but the Lord. Call upon the name of the Almighty. Who is He? Who is He, Lord, that I might believe? And Jesus said unto Him, Thou hast both seen Him, and it is He that talketh with thee. Have you seen God Almighty in the Scriptures? According to Scriptures? As the Scriptures would put Him forth? As our Lord revealed Himself as the all-powerful to your hearts? I ask you this. Dost thou believe? Amen? Would you stand with me if you would, please?